I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hi, friends, it's Vin Scully. It's time for
Dr. Clapper.
In sports, there's winning and losing and getting injured. That's why there's Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Clapper is the former head of orthopedic surgery at Cedars-Sinai.
The Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
Hey, Dr. Clapper.
How are you?
Saturday mornings from 7 to 9.
Silence is golden when you can't think of a good answer.
Yes, Doc, I love your show.
Now, here he is, Dr. Robert Clapper.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Before we get started with some storytelling, let's keep the clinic open. Robert's been hanging on a long time, and I feel I owe him the ability to get some Clapper vision. So, Robert, welcome to the Weekend Warriors show. Thanks so much for hanging on.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. So, is this Rocky? Who am I talking to?
Smokey.
Smokey, all right. It's a beautiful day.
Thanks for calling in, Robert. So, how old are you? What do you do for a living?
I am 55. I'm a general contractor that does more management than actually working with my hands at this point. So, I build homes and kind of coordinate like a conductor all the different subcontractors that I have working with me.
Well, let me tell you something. When you look at those blueprints and you see the framing, that's the bony skeleton. Then you look at where the conduits are to put those wires. That's the nerve system, the neurologic part of where the sciatic nerve, the nerves that go down your arm from your neck, the wiring, the electronics, that's neurology. And then you look at where the toilets are and where the plumbing's going to be in the kitchen sink. That's the plumbing contractor. Then you look at the skin and how that's the roofing contractor. When you look at a house, when I look at a house, I see the body. And the same principles, Robert, that you need to know that you can't put that in first. You got to do this before you do that. Those same principles are exactly what goes on with the body. So when a doctor says to you, just take this pill and you're going to be fine, I'm giving you permission as a contractor to go, that doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not doing that. So I'm deputizing you. You're an honorary orthopedic surgeon, Robert. Because you're a general contractor.
Very nice. All right.
So how can I help you? What's up?
So I had multiple dislocations years ago when I was in my early 20s.
Yes.
And ended up what they did, they said that the labrum was torn and it was pinned in place. And being as a young individual and not maybe having enough intelligence, I was working at that time with a school. And we were in Puerto Rico with troubled youth. Mm-hmm. I was 2 weeks out of my surgery, still in a sling, and I took them to this beautiful beach in Puerto Rico on the North Shore.
It's called Rincon.
Yeah,
it's called Rincon.
That was it. That was it. And I
And in Spanish, I think Rincon means corner. And and that's exactly why that surf break in Puerto Rico is so special. I know a lot about Rincon.
It was beautiful, but I probably shouldn't have been body surfing. I got slammed on my shoulder recently that had surgery, but it didn't dislocate or whatever. It still was intact, and it seemed to be fine. But over the years, this is 30 years ago, now I am losing mobility, and the shoulder, that same shoulder is like...
So this is what's happened. You ready for a Clapper vision?
I am ready.
Two things have occurred in your shoulder. One, it's as though the alignment, that's the dislocation, was knocked out of your car. What's going to happen to the tires of your car when the alignment is knocked out? You're going to wear out those tires prematurely. So because of the dislocation as a kid, and I know the technology that was used all those years ago, that, though, between the surgery and the reason for the surgery, you now have been loading your shoulder slightly off, slightly out of alignment. So the tires are wearing out. That limitation in motion is because you are developing what's known as an osteophyte, a bone spur, because the cartilage has worn down. This is not going to be you tore your rotator cuff and that's why your arm's not moving. Your rotator cuff may be damaged as well, and it probably is, but I would bet dollars to donuts that you're now dealing with an arthritic condition as well, not a dislocation. Those days are over. One of the beautiful things about getting older is we get stiffer. You're not dealing with a dislocation anymore. You're dealing with arthritis. So you're going to need three things, an exam, an x-ray, and an MRI. Okay. I don't want anyone sticking cortisone, Synvisc, stem cells, no needles into your shoulder. And if you want, it'll be my pleasure to help take care of you. You also win a prize. You can call my office and tell them I spoke to you and you can come see me, because that's what you're going to need. Not let's send him to therapy like the last guy that I called. What an ass backwards way of doing something. No, right. You're not going to therapy. What's your diagnosis? Before I send you to therapy, you need to know what the hell's the matter with you. You need an exam, you need an x-ray, and you need an MRI. And you do not need a painful MRI where they stick, you know, contrast material with a needle into your shoulder. Just a regular MRI is going to be more than adequate. All right? Those are your marching orders.
Excellent. I appreciate it.
All right, young man. And thanks for being a loyal listener. I want you to find a total stranger today. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
I will do that. Have a great day.
All right. God bless you, Robert. Talk soon. Let's get right into, I'm just so excited to talk to my buddy, Dr. Tom Sokol, about how our colon works. And all week long, it's all I thought about. The plumbing, the pipe. How the hell does it work? It goes up, the ascending colon. It goes horizontal through a valley called the transverse colon. It then goes down as it runs around where the spleen is, the splenic flexure, and goes down the descending colon before it gets to the rectum and then on the way out. The tumors, the fistulas, the hemorrhoids. Because when it's working, it's a beautiful thing. But when it ain't working, it's not so beautiful. So where in the world of art do we see the colon when it works well and when it doesn't work so well? Let's go to Roman water supply, number 7.
The challenge for the Roman engineers was to keep the water flowing at the same speed on its entire journey. To get around hills, they dug trenches along the contour lines and covered them with bricks and earth.
This is technology from 2,000 years ago. But I'm telling you, those Romans were smart. They watched how our bodies were made, and they brought their engineering up to speed. You may argue that a computer, an artificial intelligence, is trying to be like our brain. The Romans made arches for their windows like the arch in your foot. Their plumbing inventions were related to our arteries, our veins, and how our intestines worked. It's fascinating to see what they did 2,000 years ago. Number 8.
To conquer high mountains, they dug deep tunnels right through them and shafts in their roof for ventilation. To cross long distances on even ground, they built flat walls with a trough in the top. And to channel the water into Rome without obstructing traffic, they built the majestic arched aqueducts we know today.
The arches is so people with their horses and carriages can go underneath those arches. If there's no water, there's no life. Those Roman aqueducts were brilliant pieces of engineering to get water to where the people were. There were 1 million people living in Rome 2,000 years ago, and every one of them got running water because of these engineers. Number 9.
These plumbed into a network of fountains that fed water to 1 million Romans. Today, Rome's fountains are still safe to drink from. And because they always keep the water flowing, they stop the city's pipes from clogging up.
And that's what we'll ask Dr. Sokol about. That's the key. To keep the colon working properly, you need a steady flow. When things back up and your bowel habits change, something's not right. Something is up. Exactly what the something is why you need people like Dr. Sokol to figure it out. But the Romans realized you keep the water flowing and it won't stop up. Just fascinating. Where in the world of sports do we see the pipe and then the violation of the pipe leading to all kinds of problems like pain, like swelling? Well, for me, in the world of sports, it was ABC's Wide World of Sports when they had the intro and they talked about the thrill of victory, the Super Bowl champion, the hockey champion, the NBA champion. But every year, the agony of defeat was always the same piece of video. It was the ski jumper who went off the track. He went off the snowy colon into the wall of the colon, a hemorrhoid, a fistula. His name was Vinko Bogataj from Yugoslavia. And in March of 1970, he went off the track. He was the agony of defeat. Let's hear Steve Paulette, that beautiful intro from 1970. Actually, 1974 is when they started with it, of Vinko Bogataj. Let's hear number one.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
I watched it every Saturday growing up. It's the greatest thing. Before there was an ESPN, there was ABC Wide World of Sports, and everyone knew who that ski jumper was. Everyone in America, this most popular show, saw that ski jumper. He was so famous to us in America. In Yugoslavia, nobody knew who he was, because after that horrific accident where he went off the track, he stopped ski jumping, became a painter, and was lost into their society. But in America, he's one of the most famous athletes we ever knew about it. Listen to this fascinating story of Vinko Bogataj. Let's go to number two.
And to learn his story, we must go to Oberstdorf, Germany, original home of the sport of ski flying, and site of that year's international competition. ABC's Wide World of Sports was there. Calling the action, Bud Palmer and Art Devlin. Art, a four-time Olympic ski jumper himself, reflects on Vinko Bogataj's first jump at the international competition.
Next.
It was a gorgeous day, and all the nations brought their young kids there. And Yugoslavia did not have a strong jumping team. They were just getting started. And those poor kids had to jump on that big hill. And after the first round, and I saw young Vinko Bogataj jump, I said right then and there, this kid is nothing but an accident on the way to happen. And it sure happened.
Number four.
Off too early. Holy cat, you see the wind on the tip of those skis? There he goes! Oh, that's a tough one. Let me tell you, it's a dangerous hill.
Complicating the situation for the competitors, the weather. The winds increased. The in-run became icier, forcing event officials to shorten the jump and avoid disaster. The stage was set for Vinko's final leap.
The snow made the track too fast. He tried to stop himself. And that's when this horrific situation occurred. Number five.
The youngster is inexperienced. He fell on his first jump.
A lot of speed in that track. And look out! Look at him go! Oh! Oh, baby. What a terrible fall.
Naturally, we tried to report right away what happened to someone. And the report we got was that he wanted to go back up and take another jump. He didn't think he was hurt, but the docs had no part of that, and they took him in the meat wagon down to the hospital, which was probably 10 miles away, and he called back and told everybody he was fine, and he'd be back again.
Here's Doug Wilson, the producer of Wide World of Sports, talking about being in the truck and seeing this. Number six.
We were shocked. We were screaming in the truck. My gosh, did you see that? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my, oh. and we were concerned, and we watched him be carried away in the snow. After our initial shock, it didn't take us long to want to have that disaster become the agony of defeat.
But it was Dennis Lewin, the producer, who decided this is going to be the agony of defeat. Number seven.
When Venko took the fall in 1970, we were still using an opening comprised of film shots of stylized athletes portraying the different types of motions in their events. And I decided to go into the tape room one time and match the shots that were on the stylized tape with real action shots taken from real shows from the ABC Sports Library. When you think of the thrill of victory and agony of defeat, there's only one shot now that comes to mind in everybody's mind, which is obviously Venko Bogatay.
Who became so famous in America, and no one knew him in Yugoslavia, his home country. Number eight.
I felt that perhaps maybe we were being exploitive in showing that spill week after week after week, and that maybe we ought to remove Venko from the billboard. And I raised that possibility at a Wide World Sports meeting, and I was figuratively met with a chorus of boos from everybody in the meeting.
How could you delete someone that had become so popular? At the Wide World of Sports 20th anniversary, he received a standing ovation in a room filled with athletes such as Peggy Fleming and Muhammad Ali.
And number nine.
When I was told that I was being invited to ABC's Wide World of Sports 20th anniversary, I knew that I would not be invited if I weren't popular. But when I arrived and saw how many great athletes were there and how well they greeted me, well, I had never expected such a reaction. I was shocked.
You're the most famous example of life when it doesn't go well. When that snowy colon that you tried to ski down, you violated the wall. That's what made you famous. That's what made Muhammad Ali get up out of his seat from a neighboring table and in front of everybody to walk up to you and ask you for your autograph. There's a reason for it. Number 10.
He had this grin on his face like you just wouldn't believe. He couldn't believe it. And Muhammad Ali was one of the first to get Venko's autograph.
I am very glad that even though I was never an Olympic or world champion, because of Wide World of Sports, I am remembered by so many.
When your colon's working well, you don't think about it. You take it for granted. But when you violate that wall of the colon to cause a hemorrhoid, a fistula, or cancer, you get the attention like Venko Bogatay gets the attention. Coming up next, we're going to talk to my favorite colon expert, the great Dr. Tom Sokol. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
Forget about it. You're not having surgery. This is what you're going
to
do.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Oh, my God. Every single bone and joint in my body hurts right now.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Get a hemorrhoid, it is like walking on broken glass. I'm so excited to be joined by my next guest, the great Dr. Tom Sokol. Tom, thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
My pleasure.
You know, one of the blessings of being at Cedars for 31 years, the building is great, but it's the best doctors you'll ever find, and you are one of them. You're not just the greatest, you're my doctor, and I want every one of the Weekend Warriors to realize when they need a colonoscopy, which they all do, you're the guy they need to go to. The topic, I want to talk about all kinds of things, and certainly with the tragic loss this week of a 43-year-old actor, the Black Panther, 42, so many, James Brown, Chadwick Boseman dying of colon cancer at 43. You need to teach us all about it. But before we get started, Tom Sokol, I want to play a soundbite, Steve Paulette, for Dr. Sokol from the ancient Romans building their waterways, the aqueducts, to get the water to go up the mountain to the dry area. That's how life is. You need water for life. So if the village is on top of the mountain and there's no water, how the hell did the Romans get the water to the top of the mountain? And that's when they figured out that water seeks its own level. So let's play number six.
By the time the water reached the lowest point, the pressure behind it was 20 times the force of gravity, and that pushed the water uphill. In fact, the pressure was so great that clay pipes would have burst, so they made the pipes in this last section of lead.
These cisterns supplied the entire city. Every home on this dry mountaintop had running water, complete with taps, 2,000 years ago.
They ultimately died of lead poisoning, but they realized they needed something thicker for that high pressure for the water to go out of the valley and up the hill. The colon, the wall of the colon, is different thicknesses, correct? Depending on where in the colon you're talking about. And when you crack the clay pipe, that violation is what leads to bacteria and fistulas and hemorrhoids. Teach us, Tom Sokol, about the anatomy of the colon and what goes right and what goes wrong.
Well, the colon is a long tube, muscular, and it has contractile muscles, both linear, that moves things along, and also circumferential, that will mix the stool and push things through. Mm-hmm. The colon also reabsorbs a lot of the fluid that comes from the small intestine after you've absorbed your nutrients. And by having the stool in the colon, it compacts it, stores it till it's a convenient time for you to take a dump.
Mm. Tom, after all these years, decades of doing colonoscopies and looking at the inside of the tube, of the pipe of the colon, you're looking at polyps. I refer to them as beauty marks. But some of those beauty marks can become on your skin melanoma, can become a cancer. Teach us a little bit of what it's like after decades of looking at polyps, how you get a feeling in your gut, uh-oh, this one looks like it wants to become cancer, versus this one looks like it's just a simple polyp. What is it that you see?
Well, we basically divide polyps into two characteristics. Ones are hyperplastic polyps, which are usually very pale, small polyps. They usually are not precancerous, but they sometimes can reach a size that can cause bleeding, so we have to remove them. Adenomatous polyps, which are the precancerous ones, can be what's called sessile or flat, or they become pedunculated, like a little punching bag, like a mushroom on a stalk. Those polyps have different characteristics as far as their surface, and we often can determine that. And those polyps, if they're small, can be removed with what's called the cold forceps if they're less than 5 millimeters. If they're a little bigger, sometimes we use a jumbo forceps or even a cauterizing forceps. The pedunculated ones that look like a punching bag on a stalk, we use a wire lasso to excise that, and then we retrieve them. If they're big enough, we have to use what's called the basket to retrieve them. Since you're going up through the colon about 5 feet, you don't want to lose it, so we withdraw it through this little netting basket to give it to the pathologist to look at.
We're talking to my favorite colon expert, the great Dr. Tom Sokol from Cedars-Sinai. We actually already have a caller who had something known as a fistula operated on. But before we get to the caller, Kelly, Tom, tell us and teach us, what exactly is a fistula and how does it present and what is the way to treat it?
So fistulas are related to our anal glands that we have in the anal canal. These glands make mucus to help lubricate the stool. And at times, they become inflamed, and because the base of the gland is in the wall of the bowel, in the rectum, and the anal canal, that if it gets infected, sometimes it swells, and then it can burrow its way out of the anus on the side of the opening, creating a tunnel or a fistula that can lead to an abscess. If that abscess ruptures, then you have a communication not through the anus, but around the anus that creates this tunnel. And so that has to be operated on if it doesn't heal spontaneously.
And what is the Goodson-Salmon law?
That has to do with the sphincter muscles around the anus and how they contract and work.
So let's take a call now that we know a little bit about a fistula, that it begins with an infection that violates the wall and penetrates through the wall, like Vinko Bogataj violated the wall of the ski jump and wound up on a fence, broke his ankle, and had a concussion. If you could imagine what a fistula would look like in sports, it's Vinko Bogataj and his ski jump episode. Let's go to Kelly, though. Kelly, you're on with Dr. Clapper and Dr. Sokol.
Hey, Dr. Clapper and Dr. Sokol.
Hi there.
You did my fistula surgery in 1987.
And you're still alive? That's great.
Well, that's partially why I called, because when I got it originally, my friend had told me that his dad had two of them done. So I've always been worried this many years later that it could come back somehow.
Well, you have the extended guarantee.
All right.
Generally, when you have a fistula and it's treated properly, you don't get it again, hopefully.
Okay.
The people who get multiple fistulas at times are the ones that have inflammatory bowel disease, like Crohn's disease.
Right.
So that's inflammation that's starting in the anal canal and in the rectum, and it predisposes at times to these fistulas.
And it's still a mystery how it caused in the first place. I all these years later, I don't see how at 27 I had this.
Well, it was a chance to meet me, that's why.
Okay, well, I did get to go to Cedars-Sinai, and it was when my people came to visit me, they go, this is like a luxury hotel. At the time, I was working at the Four Seasons over there on Doheny. And so my buddies came in, and maybe even remember me, because my friend brought in one of those adult dolls, the kind you blow up, and everyone that came in the room, the nurses and stuff, like, what is this doing here? And I go, that's my buddy.
And I still
listen,
have it.
Kelly,
I keep it in my house.
Kelly, he's only going to recognize you if you turn yourself upside down. Otherwise, he ain't going to remember your face.
Yes.
Is Dr. Clapper still on the line, or just you and I are talking?
No,
I'm on the line
there.
Okay, because, you know, he is a great surfer, and I had to go for myself to see, because he's always talking about surfing, and I go, you know what? I'm going to go to his secret spot in Lower Central California and find out for myself, because I've been surfing my whole life. And sure enough, he is the real deal. Oh. He's a great surfer.
Hey, Robbie,
thank
you. Still have my 96 Wilkins surfboard somewhere.
Listen, Kelly, thanks for calling. Tom, I want you to stay on the line, because I need to ask you about two topics, diverticulitis and cancer. So can you stay on the line for another segment?
Sure.
Okay, we're talking to the great Dr. Tom Sokol. And Kelly, thanks for calling. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on 710 ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to The Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
Magandan umaga.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to The Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Cells are just tiny people.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. My guest today is the great Dr. Tom Sokol, my favorite colon expert. And with the recent passing of actor Chadwick Boseman, it couldn't be any more relevant than to be talking to him. And I really want to get into it with him in terms of some other topics, hemorrhoids, diverticulitis, and cancer. And we only have another segment left. But before we do that, Steve Pellett, I want you to play Roman Water Supply number 9.
These plumbed into a network of fountains that fed water to a million Romans. Today, Rome's fountains are still safe to drink from. And because they always keep the water flowing, they stop the city's pipes from clogging up.
2,000 years ago, those Romans, I believe, realized that where there's water, there's life. You got to keep the water flowing. And their engineers looked at how our body works. And one thing that is true is your colon needs to keep a steady flow flowing. If there is a stoppage, not great things happen, like hemorrhoids, like diverticulitis. But cancer's a whole nother story. Teach us about cancer and the different cancers you can get, and why does it go into the vein? Why does it go stage 4 into the liver? Teach us a little bit about cancer in the colon after all these years, Dr. Sokol.
Well, a lot of it is genetic, but much of it is believed to be related to dietary, a lack of fiber in the diet. And polyps are the precursors of cancer, little growths that start out as little flat elevations in the lining of the colon. These are usually what's called adenomatous polyps. And over time, these polyps can grow, and then there are mitoses or changes in them that create the adenoma turning into a carcinoma. So if you find polyps at early stages, whether they be flat, meaning sessile, or pedunculated, and remove them through colonoscopes, you can prevent cancer. Some people are predestined to it because of genetics and family history. But again, surveillance colonoscopy is very important, and that when starting, it used to be at 50, now we start men and women at 45, even without any family history, to do a colonoscopy to survey them. And if polyps are found, then we do more frequent colonoscopies over their lifetime. But it can be a very life-saving thing to do intervention early. And even if a patient does have a cancer, if it's an early cancer, and it has spread to local lymph nodes, chemotherapy after the surgery often is curative.
The Clapper vision, for people to really understand, is the 405 freeway is your colon. If the traffic backs up on the 405 freeway and you decide to get off on a parallel surface street like Sepulveda, as soon as you get off, if there's a red light, that's a hemorrhoid. And there's another red light, that's another hemorrhoid. Cancer is you getting off the freeway on a surface street because you got to get to the Van Nuys Airport. The Van Nuys Airport is the liver. So that cell, that automobile, that cancer cell got off the freeway. You got to get off the freeway to get to the Van Nuys Airport. But that's why the liver ultimately is the source of where these cancers seem to deposit, because that's the flow of the blood supply to the colon. Does that make any sense?
It's the flow of the blood supply from the colon to the liver at times that goes through both a bloodstream and through lymphatics to the lymph nodes around it.
Now, there's two different kinds of hemorrhoids. those that hurt and those that don't hurt. Teach us before I let you go about hemorrhoids.
So hemorrhoids are vascular cushions that we all have in our anal canal, and they help to make a seal. The classic pattern is a right anterior, a right posterior, and one in the middle, left lateral. Mm-hmm. If you think about your three fingers, your thumb, your index finger, and the middle finger kind of touching together, that's when the hemorrhoids are closed in the anal canal and help to make a seal.
Mm-hmm.
The seal is aided by your sphincter muscles. And when you have a bowel movement, they are supposed to separate to let the stool pass.
Hmm.
Over time, if people have a predisposition, maybe family history to it, or if they're constipated or they love to sit on the toilet reading the newspaper, if they start delaying their urge to go, I don't want to go in public, I want to wait until I get home, pressure builds up in the rectum and the hemorrhoids tend to enlarge and engorge.
Hmm.
Much of the hemorrhoids that we see in the office when a person is referred because they're having some bleeding, these are what's called second-degree hemorrhoids. And hemorrhoids are rated first degree, which is normal inside the anal canal. Second-degree hemorrhoids are enlarged. Sometimes the second degrees can protrude a bit. If a hemorrhoid protrudes and one has to push it back in, that's a third-degree hemorrhoid. And a fourth-degree hemorrhoid is a bad one because that they all are prolapsing. So in the office, when we evaluate them, a person having bleeding, if they have some mild irritation of it, we could treat it with suppositories, dietary changes. If the hemorrhoids are getting bigger, we often use what's called injection sclerotherapy, because putting a needle in the hemorrhoid that's in the inside that is not lined by skin nerve endings doesn't feel that, and it creates a shrinkage of these engorged blood vessels.
Hmm.
If the hemorrhoid is bigger, we often can use sometimes what's called IRC, infrared coagulation, or then rubber banding. If you have to go to a surgery, there are newer ways of doing surgery that is not the traditional cutting out the old hemorrhoids and having to put stitches, which is often a very uncomfortable recovery. We sometimes can treat it with what's called a THD procedure. It's a special device that under anesthesia we put in. We could listen with what's called the Doppler to the feeding blood vessel, and we could ligate that right through the device. And then we sew the hemorrhoids inside without cutting them out to resuspend them.
So you use the Doppler, which is really hearing the artery. You're listening for the artery that feeds the engorged vein with the Doppler, not using the Doppler because you really can't hear a vein.
Correct. Usually not.
Got it. Interesting. You're the greatest, Tom Sokol. I cherish our friendship and your expertise, and I can go to anybody I want, but I choose to go to you because you're the best in the business. I want to thank you so much for waking up early to be with us and for people to really see the beautiful personality you have. It's a stressful diagnosis anytime you talk about the colon, and you make it a happy place for all of us.
Thank you. You just like my butt humor all over my walls.
Tom, have a great day. God bless you, and thanks so much for being there for all of us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Robbie.
Okay. That's the great Tom Sokol. It's a pleasure to be at Cedars for 31 years because I get to meet people like that, the best in the business, and with such a warm and beautiful bedside manner and personality. You need a colonoscopy, that's who I go to. All right, coming up next, I want to talk a little bit about what can happen to a shoulder, particularly a structure called the labrum, when you're 50 and when you're 20, and how this week I treated a labral tear in a 20-year-old differently than in a 50-year-old. Why did I do that? I'll explain. Coming up next, the number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
Magandang umaga.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Cells are just tiny people.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Good times. In these troubling times, you can count on every Saturday morning, these 2 hours, they will be good times for you. To focus on when humanity is done right. I have a neighbor up in Ventura, the Dot. He texted me yesterday while I was in surgery. Hey, Robbie. There's a moving truck in front of your house and a couple of guys are moving stuff in and out of your house. Is that okay? I texted him back. I said, yes, that's okay. And thank you for texting me. I don't think there's anything better in life when you have a house to have a great neighbor. Just people treating each other decently. Yesterday in the operating room, 6 big surgeries, 2 rooms. I do a lot of surgery. I did 14 surgeries this week. But after each and every surgery, I don't wave my hand and say, thank you, everybody. No. I call out each and every person's name and name them individually. Number one, it means I learned everyone's name. And number two, I'm grateful. Yeah, I get all the credit. I'm the big shot. I'm the surgeon. But you know what? I can't do it alone. I need an x-ray tech. I need someone to clean the room in between cases. You need the nurse, the scrub tech, the anesthesiologist. Can you imagine? I have 2 rooms. You know how many people I'm working with? A lot. You better learn each and everybody's name, because I don't think there's anything greater to hear than when someone says your name. They learned your name and they're grateful. And you were not doing this alone. Your life is just so much more rewarding. I read something this week that in your life, you want 2 things. You want a sense of purpose and you want a passion. For those of us who are lucky to have found their purpose in life and found their passion in life, we're the fortunate ones. But that doesn't mean those of you who haven't can't stop looking, because it's there. What do they say? You want to have a happy life? Find the gift God gave you and share it with the world. While you're looking, you can say please and thank you to total strangers. It makes the world a much better place. After today's show, I'm going directly to Ralph's, to the ice cream section, and I'm going to be looking for Grater's ice cream. Mint chocolate chip and double chocolate. By the time I get home, that ice cream's going to be a little bit melted, which is fantastic. Because then I can take that spoon and scoop it out because it's creamy. It's not frozen anymore. And when you combine chocolate and mint chip on a hot day, I don't know what peppermint does. I don't know the science. Maybe I should have a chemist on as a guest one day. Why does it make your mouth so beautifully cool when it's green from the ground? It's a peppermint. That's really where it comes from. But you have that cool burst of mint with double chocolate from Grater's. Let me tell you something. It could be 150 degrees. I don't care. It just feels great. Next week, my show is going to be about surfing, because we're going to have the coach of the U.S. Surfing Olympic team, Brett Simpson. I thought it was Bart Simpson, but I guess it's Brett Simpson. And he's going to talk to us about how they're training now in a wave pool. Think about it. You're surfing in the ocean, and he's going to train these amazing athletes in a swimming pool that has waves. I think they're either in Texas or Arizona. I forgot where. But they're far from an ocean. And what I find fascinating, which I'm already thinking about, where in art, where in sports, and where in surgery do you see the use of a simulator to teach your craft? You know how you watch NASA and the astronauts, that anti-gravity training that they do? We're on Earth, there's gravity. How are you going to duplicate that? One of the ways they duplicate it is, this is what's fascinating, is they actually drop you from a height so that you have no gravity during that moment to create an anti-gravity situation. In surgery, there's nothing like operating on a real live human being, but we use cadavers to get started. But now with 3D animation, the simulators we can use to teach young surgeons is fantastic. In sports, in art, in surgery, the whole idea of a simulator is fascinating to me. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. But I do want to tell you a little bit about what I did this week in terms of the same anatomic body part called the labrum in your shoulder. In a 20-year-old versus a 50-year-old, I should really trademark the term agercise, that you actually treat people differently based on their age. You have a torn labrum and you're 20. I'm going to treat it differently than when you're 50. You have a torn meniscus when you're 20. I'm going to treat it differently than a torn meniscus when you're 50. Because the aging process stiffens and changes the collagen. Here's a clapper vision for you. Here's the aging process. If you look under the microscope at the collagen that makes up our skin, our tendons, our muscles, it looks like a bowl full of spaghetti. The strands of collagen look like that spaghetti.
Clapper vision.
It's lubricated by marinara sauce. That's the vitamin C that I always tell you I want you to take. Fresh fruits, tomatoes fresh, strawberries fresh, red bell pepper that's fresh. That's why you need it. You need to keep that marinara sauce nice and lubricated. But a 20-year-old's labrum under the microscope looks like a fresh bowl of spaghetti with fresh marinara sauce. My favorite is Rao's, by the way, R-A-O. But what is aging? Aging is you forgot to put that bowl of spaghetti and the Rao's marinara sauce in the refrigerator. You left it out overnight. You went to sleep. You got tired. You wake up in the morning, and that bowl of spaghetti, that marinara sauce, is now drying out. That's what under the microscope and what I see as a surgeon, your meniscus as a 50-year-old, your labrum as a 50-year-old is different than a 20-year-old where it's fresh marinara sauce. So the labral tear in the 20-year-old, I used beautiful new technology by Arthrex and repaired and fixed this youngster's labrum with special kind of fiber wire Kevlar stitches. In the 50-year-old, you know what I did? I used a motorized shaver to give it a haircut. There's no point in putting stitches in that guy. It ain't gonna work. Give it a haircut, trim it. No restrictions, he doesn't need to be in a brace. And he'll be rocking and rolling in no time. That's the judgment that comes with being a doctor, a carpenter, a plumber, an electrician. You do that same job for me, 31 years, for Tom Sokol, 40 years. It's the coolest thing in the world to meet a doctor who's put in the time. Because trust me, it's not in the book. They can't teach you experience in a book or an online class. It takes thousands and thousands of interactions with patients to become a seasoned and sixth sense trusting doctor. So I just love bringing people like Dr. Sokol on the radio. And look at his beautiful personality about serious subjects, uncomfortable subjects, literally uncomfortable, but even uncomfortable to talk about. But he makes it so delightful because let me tell you something, he knows what he's looking at. He knows what he's hearing in your history. He's just so gentle as a soul. But if you have something serious, he's the guy who knows how to deal with it. I can't wait till next Saturday already. Thanks so much for joining me each and every Saturday. Until then, I'll see you on the radio. Nel cielo infinito.